Okay? Today is March 25th, 2009. We're at the Amelia Island Museum of History, Fernandina Beach, Florida. The following interview is being conducted as part of the Amelia Island Museum of History's Veterans History Project in partnership with the Library of Congress. We're interviewing Ms. Natalie Yaskow. She was born April 18, 1923, in Buffalo, New York. My name is Edgar Johnson, and I will interview the subject on behalf of the Amelia Island Museum of History. Assisting me is Mr. Gerhard Tam, who will operate the recording equipment. I will now begin the interview. Natalie, could you tell us what was your period of service?
I was in World War II from April 1944 to April 46.
And what was your rank?
I came out as a staff sergeant.
Okay. And where did you serve?
I went to boot camp at Camp Lejeune and served at Parris Island, South Carolina.
Okay. Could you tell us what you were doing on December 7th, 1941?
Well, probably listening to the radio. That was a big thing. And, of course, I knew all that happened. So, and my brother, of course, signed up right afterwards. He was a 17-year-old boy.
Okay. What made you join the military?
I went in because of him.
Okay. And could you tell us a little bit about the circumstances surrounding your joining the military?
Actually, my parents were not too happy that I did go in. They didn't want me to leave. Women were not... That was not the big thing for a woman to go away to. But they let me go, and I came from a real happy family, so there was really no reason except that I just wanted to serve with him.
Okay. Why did you wait until 1944 to join?
I wasn't old enough.
And how old did you have to be to join?
My parents wouldn't sign for me, so I had to go on my own. And so I had to wait till I was 21.
Okay. Now, you mentioned you went to boot camp at Parris Island.
Camp Lejeune.
Could you tell us a little bit about that experience?
You just want to know what the Camp Lejeune was like?
No, what was your experience like?
My experience?
Your first time away from home?
I cried. I wanted to go back home. I really, the first couple of days, what did I get myself into? It was quite an experience. Camp Lejeune was really something way off in the boondocks. It was a swampy area. You didn't know anybody, and it was quite frightening. And boot camp was not exactly what I had been used to all my life. Mm-hmm. So I could tell you an interesting experience. Do you want it now? Do you want it? Anyhow, of course, I think I had a problem telling my left from my right, and of course, we used to be embarrassed with things, so the drill sergeant decided that he would solve that. He made me put in a red shoelace and a black shoelace, and he would stand by the side of me and say, red, black, red, black. So, you know, it was a little bit embarrassing, one of the things that happened.
Okay. And what was the food like in boot camp?
I really don't remember. I guess I ate and did. I do remember the sign. The sign said, take all you want, but eat all you take. And you did not let a thing be on your tray. You had to eat it. If you went over there was somebody standing where you had to clear the tray off. You had to finish it. Didn't matter whether you liked it or what, you had to finish it.
Okay. What are some of your memories about boot camp?
Well, I met a lot of nice people there. I really did. After we were there, you didn't get a chance except after you had went through all your classes and that to socialize. But the girls were nice, and you met them from all over. And I met four girls that actually went to Parris Island with me, and we became lifelong friends. Mm-hmm. And so that was quite interesting. And getting back to the food part, I do have to tell you, one time I did take advantage of that, take all you want, but eat all you take. I took a bunch of bananas, because bananas was a commodity I hadn't been used to a lot, and I ate them all, and naturally bananas sort of bloat you. And I couldn't quite close my skirt after I had gotten them in my stomach. It was quite something. And I remember one time we were allowed to go to the theater, and I didn't notice my friends had gotten ahead of me, so I went into a side door, and when I went in, where there was a sergeant there, and he went and he grabbed me by the shoulder and told me to go back out and come in again and come in the right way, and I went back out. I thought, well, how do you come in the right way? I walked in as straight as I could, and he grabbed me again and told me to go out and come in the right way. So after the third time, I did look up, but I was going in the sergeant's door. There was so there are a few experiences that stick.
Okay. You mentioned you met four ladies you became lifelong friends mm-hmm. with. You still in contact with them?
All dead. One was from Richmond, Virginia. One was from Long Island, California. And the other one was from Detroit, Michigan. And then me, I was a fourth. And all three of them are dead. I'm still in touch with the one lady's husband. Mm-hmm. Write Christmas cards. But the other husbands are dead too, and my husband's dead. Mm-hmm. So I'm the only surviving one mm-hmm. of that bunch.
What was the training like at camp?
Our training was not as strict as the men's. We had a sort of a, I'm going to say a milder version of everything. Like where they have to have the rope and swing over things and things like that. We didn't have a lot of that real strict stuff. I don't know if the girls do it now. I think it's stronger now. But at that time, we were the first lady Marines in, mm-hmm. and they just didn't. But we had, I don't remember. There were a lot of walking, a lot of running, wearing gas masks, and things like that. But I just, I don't remember it being hard.
Okay.
But I was an outdoor person.
What made you choose the Marines as opposed
My brother was in the Marine Corps. He joined when he was 17. Mm-hmm. And he did come out. He served at Guadalcanal, and he just died a couple of years ago. But I was very close to him. We were just... Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. What was your first job after boot camp?
In boot camp, after boot camp, when I was sent to Paris Island, they put me into the post exchange, and we sort of went through a job interview, and luckily there were 1,000 of us women sent down there, and two of us were singled out. I'd had accounting training, and I was also a stenographer, and another girl was a stenographer. So they pulled us out. They needed a bookkeeper, and they needed one stenographer and one bookkeeper. So we were advanced to the role of corporal and given nice jobs. And then I worked at the post exchange, but I worked at that job for 2 years.
Okay. So your entire time you worked in the Marines, you worked at
the post exchange.
You mentioned your family was somewhat opposed to your joining the Marines.
They weren't opposed to me joining the Marines. They didn't want me to go into the service. That wasn't the thing that girls did at those days. It just mm-hmm. wasn't a popular thing. Okay. And they had a boy in the Marines, and they had a lot of problems. You know, hearing where he was stationed and that, he was in the pick of everything. And so they weren't happy about that. Mm-hmm. But they accepted it when I did go.
Okay. Now, the Marines recruited women with the slogan, free a man to fight.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to the man whose job you took? Did you ever meet him? Or?
No, he died. Actually, he trained me. What we did, we actually did sit down right at the desk with the person. They trained you. And as soon as you were trained, they were released for overseas duty. Because a lot of these were people that had been, they'd been in the Marine Corps for quite a while. And they had been stationed at Paris Island, and it was their career. So now they were going to be released for overseas duty. And it was a sad thing because a lot of them that we released, we did hear that they died, the list would come back. Mm-hmm. And we hear that the ones that we heard of from the office are gone.
Mm-hmm. What did you enjoy most about being in the Marines?
I really enjoyed the life. I said there was a, after you got used to it, by the time I was at Paris Island, I was really used to the people that I met. I met a lot of the interesting people. The one lady that worked in the office was a civilian. She lived in Beaufort, South Carolina, which was the town that was right there. As a matter of fact, I'm still in touch with her. She's 90 years old now, and she still lives in Beaufort, and I do go to see her. She was, as I said, she never joined the service. She was a civilian. And you know, even the lieutenants and everybody else, it was a friendly place. We were a community unto himself. The women lived in barracks that were separated quite away from the training fields for the men. We had an area of our own. There were a lot of nice things to do. We had canoes and boats that we could go around, and there was entertainment, and there was a show on base and different things like that. You could go to Charleston for your off-duty hours. You could go to Beaufort, which was a beautiful, beautiful town in those days. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it was a very, very nice life. The only sad thing was every so often when the list would be posted, we'd hear things. And then my brother, of course, was sent back. He was put in the hospital in Washington and Bethesda, Maryland. And I did get to go up and see him. And then, of course, he was sent home. So, but other than that, it was just, that was the interesting part. The job itself was quite routine. Uh-huh. It was accounting as you would do, military as compared to civilian life.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you get a chance to go off base and travel very much?
Went to Charleston, went to Savannah, did get up to Washington. As a matter of fact, one of my trips to Washington, I was there for Franklin Roosevelt's funeral. And I got quite a few pictures of Kasson. And, of course, then I got to go home back to Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Other than that, no travel. And, of course, travel was by train. Mm-hmm. So it was quite different. Different than it is now. But for me, there was still a lot of traveling. I had traveled a lot as a kid. My dad was from Mississippi, and we used to go to see his parents every year. Mm-hmm. So we were always traveling. My mother, dad, and eight of us kids all in one car.
And you mentioned your barracks were quite a ways away from the men's.
They had a section of Paris Island that now is no longer there. Now buildings are just empty. But it was over at the far end of the island, away from the... We'd take a bus in the morning, you'd get up and you'd eat where you were at, and you'd take a bus down to the center part, where it was the main part of the island, you might say. Mm-hmm. And where all the men's training and everything else is done, where it still is done today. Mm-hmm. But it's and then we'd stay right down there for the whole day. You had like an hour and a half at lunchtime. We'd go swimming during lunch hour. We had a pool right there, the main pool. It was, if it wasn't war, it could have been a nice little country club. Mm-hmm. It was very nice at the time.
Okay. Did you get a chance to socialize very much?
Yeah. We got to meet quite a few of the men, of course, that were there. They would come back. We got to see a lot. I know at one time, now where my desk was, I was right across from the doorway where I could see the barbershop for the fellas coming in. And it was a new, because Paris Island, of course, was their boot camp. And as they would come in, they would file in a line, go in with long hair, and they'd come out with shaved, and of course they'd be scratching their head, and it was quite something to see them. They weren't quite happy at that time, and I think it was a bunch of young kids that didn't know what was going on, but they'd come out with no hair. Mm-hmm. And
I used to figure out the equipment here.
Okay, well, there was one incident I should have told you about. When I worked down in the post exchange and before I was in my office job, that I worked at the counter, and all the fellas, after they were issued their dress blues, where they would come up and each one of them would purchase a box of sanitary napkins. And we girls could never figure out why they were buying sanitary napkins. What in the devil male Marines would need with them? But one day we did have it explained to us that evidently their white caps were not as stiff as they liked them. So they bought these sanitary napkins so they could rip the lining down, stuff the napkins up in there in some particular way, make the hat stand up stiffer. They'd fix the lining back up, and that's what they wore on their heads. So it was quite something. But there were little incidents like that. I can't remember them all. And I know another time I wanted to, different times I would take pictures and I wanted to show my family how sophisticated I was. I never had smoked. I didn't like to smoke, but I did acquire a cigarette holder and a cigarette, and I had my picture taken with it. and sent it back to my dad, and of course he just sent it back to me and just said, ha, ha. So that was something. He didn't believe that I ever smoked. I never did. I didn't like it, but I wanted to show him I was sophisticated.
Okay.
But, yeah. Oops.
What was sort of the high point of your time in the Marines?
The high point? Well, I think mostly the camaraderie. Mm-hmm. What the people that I met. I met a lot of interesting people. You met them from all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an experience.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, I met these three buddies that we were quite close, but I met a lot of other people too. And mm-hmm. a lot that I kept in touch with just by writing to them, but that was the big thing. And I learned to sail. We had sailboats that we could go into, and I learned to do a lot of things that I didn't do at home.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that was the main thing.
Mm-hmm. What did you enjoy least about being in the Marines?
Seeing the list come every week of people that we knew that had met, or mm-hmm. even that we hadn't met, how many. There were enough, the casualty lists were heavy, and they did come there. We would see them come through the office, mm-hmm. and they were very heavy. So that was something.
But, okay.
And then the two of the lady Marines that I did know got married to Marines while we were in the service, and both their husbands had to be shipped out, and both of them died.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a sad occasion. So I think because during World War II there were so many casualties, that was always a sad point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, since you served during World War II, could you tell us a little bit about the attitudes toward women and how you think they've changed over?
Well, at that time, it was very... We had no problem. I mean, people admired you. You'd walk and you'd get on a train, and you always had people coming up asking you what your experiences were like, where you were at. I never had any negative feedback at all.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, when I'd come home, I was a novelty in my area. I had one cousin who came from about a 40 miles away from me that had also joined the Marines.
Mm-hmm.
And but other than that, there were just no military women, and not even in the Army or anything, that were in my particular neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So I was quite a celebrity when I come home. Yeah.
Okay. Being in the military, how do you think attitudes toward women by the military have changed?
Well, some of the stories I've heard have not been the best. I don't know. I think there's been a lot of changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I've had occasion to go back to Paris Island, and I've seen the women there, and I don't think they live up to what we were taught. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem to be as strict as we had it. Maybe it's my opinion. We were proud of being in our uniform. We were never out of the uniform. If we went off base, we wore the uniform. Now, that isn't the big thing. I mean, they're in just other clothes and everything else. So I can't say whether it's good or bad.
Did you think the discipline during your time was quite strict?
Boot camp, I thought it was awful. I mean, if you ever gotten down on your knees and scrubbed the latrine floor with a toothbrush, you'd think it was awful, too. But, some of the things. And then I know another time that I had my shoes, of course, when they'd have inspection, one of my shoelaces was untied on the shoe that was sitting where it was supposed to be, and of course you got punished for something like that. And your punishment usually was to clean the latrine or something of that mm-hmm. order. But now I look back, I don't think none of it hurt me. And it it's just that I never was used to that at home.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any weapons training while you were
any
in
what?
Weapons training
no.
while you were in the Marines?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
They might give they give that now, but I don't think we did at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there were certain branches that the girls wouldn't sign up for there, because they did go into certain fields, and there could have been.
Okay. Where were you when the war ended?
When the war ended, I was still at Paris Island.
Mm-hmm.
I and my three friends bought a Greyhound bus ticket. We went home first, and then we bought a Greyhound bus ticket for $99. At that time, you could travel as far as you wanted to, get off wherever you wanted to, and for $99. And we took a 2 month tour of the United States. I picked up the girl in Richmond, and then from there we went and got the one in Detroit, and we went out to California, and then the four of us just sort of circled around the country. And we had quite a, I went by bus, by Greyhound bus, and it was quite an experience.
Sounds like a terrific trip.
Then, of course, after that, you had to think of... They, well, one thing that the government did for us, when we came out of the service, they paid us what almost would be an unemployment pay for a period of 3 months. You didn't have to look for work.
Okay.
They gave you a chance to get... Which is something I don't think they do now. They gave us unemployment. I don't remember what it was called, but it was, that's what it amounted to. And then, of course, I signed up for school, and I went to the American Institute of TV in Chicago. I studied there for 2 years. That's when TV was in its infancy. And, of course, I could have been a big TV star, I guess, because I'd been at the start, but halfway through the school, I decided that I just did not want to go to school any further. I wanted to go home and get back into the swing of things. And when I came home, I called the one TV station that was operating in Buffalo and told them I'd had a year and a half of the terminology and some of the experiences. And oh, they hired me right away if I want. But the only thing is, was working at night from 6 o'clock till midnight, and I did not want to work evenings. So, but I could have been the Barbara Walters of my day, I guess, or something. I just didn't take advantage of it.
Why did you decide to leave the Marines? To leave the Marines?
Well, at the time, when the war was over, we signed up for the duration.
Okay.
That's why. So at the end of the war, we were automatically... We were offered a chance to take our... I was a staff sergeant, so I could have transferred that staff sergeant into a federal civil service rank and taken a job at Paris... Pearl Harbor, and I didn't want to go to Pearl Harbor. They did offer that, and I didn't want that, so I just took my discharge and went home.
Okay. How do you think the Marines influenced your later life?
I don't know if it influenced it, but it didn't hurt it. Let's put it that way.
Well, it sounded like you became quite independent. And
well, yeah. I was from a family of eight. I was the oldest of eight, and I just, you know, I sort of was independent beforehand, or I wouldn't have joined the Marine Corps. But I think I learned to just enjoy meeting people and getting out a little bit more. I can say I look back on it very favorably.
Now, you mentioned you stayed in touch with your friends from the foursome. Well, during your time in the service, do you stay in touch with any veterans organizations?
I'm a member of the, of course, the American Legion, but also the Marine Corps League, the Semper Fi Society, and I'm a devil dog. I'm one of the elite members of the Marine Corps devil dogs. So I'm still just a puppy. I haven't become pedigree, but I'm a puppy in the devil dogs.
Okay, so you really stayed in touch with the veterans organizations.
Much, yeah.
Enjoyed your association with the military. Okay. How did you start spending time on Amelia Island and in Nassau County?
My daughter has moved down here. My daughter's moved here about, it must be 14, 15 years ago or something. And, of course, I was retired. So I started spending winters down here with her. And I really thoroughly enjoy it. I enjoy going back home because the weather is nice there in the summertime, but I do enjoy getting out of the Buffalo area in November when I head down. And, of course, then in the summertime, I spend a lot of time visiting my other kids. My kids are all scattered.
Yeah. Do you have any favorite stories about your time in the service that I haven't asked you about?
Not that I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
Some embarrassing words.
No, those are the
best. I don't think they need pretty.
Okay. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add to the interview?
Oh, nothing I can think of.
Okay. Well, I'd like to thank you for your service to the country, and it's been a real privilege to interview you. Thank you very much.